Well, it's really lovely to be with you all this morning. Thank you for having me. And yeah, as Janet said, my name's Helena. I'm married to Chris, who spoke last week, if you were here last week. And we have two little girls who are 9 and nearly 7. And yeah, we've been here nearly 9 years now as on the staff, both of us on the staff for the majority of that time. And I've had a number of different roles, youth work, working in the office, and now as Paul's PA. So yes, it's a privilege to be here. Now, last week, Chris spoke to you and he was looking at Jesus's friends being in the garden of Gethsemane the night before he died. Jesus asked them to stay awake and keep watch with him. But in their human strength, they struggled. It was a tough thing to do. And Chris talked about doing what we're called to do in God's strength and not our own. Now, for me, this is something that is so important. And I've been learning a lot about this over the last year, doing things in God's strength. I've been asked to do lots of things and I felt God call me out of my comfort zone a number of times. And I've personally felt I've only been able to do those things in the strength of God. But I've just found that it's a really wonderful position to be in when the glory of God can be displayed over our weaknesses. So today we're going to move on in the passage. We're going to move to the moment that Jesus is crucified on the cross. So as we begin, I wonder what you think of when you hear the words Holy Week. For me, I grew up in a Christian family. We would go to church on Palm Sunday. The week would go on. There'd be lots of fun things going on, usually the Easter holidays, and we'd have Easter egg hunts. We might talk a bit about the journey of Jesus, but all of a sudden, it would be Easter Sunday, an exciting, fun, celebratory day. We'd have a big Easter egg each. And it's only really been quite recently, as an adult, that I've really started to take note of all those bits in between that I skipped over, in between Palm Sunday and Easter Day. The messy bits, the uncomfortable bits, and the painful bits. Can we truly celebrate in the fullness of all that Easter Sunday has to offer without going to the depths of the cross first? Of course, I understood and I knew that we were celebrating the fact that Jesus had died and was raised to life again. For me, he's paid the price for everything I've ever done and I ever will do that's not in line with his will. I have been forgiven and I am saved. But I hadn't really put in the time to dwell on that, to pay attention to my own sin, the brokenness and the weakness in myself. I recently read this simple idea of what sin is, which I found helpful. Sin is everything that stands in our path of relationship to God. Sin is everything that stands in our path of relationship to God. Holy Week is a journey, isn't it? As we walk the path through the scriptures, we follow the journey of Jesus, the road that he had to travel. We read in Ecclesiastes 3 that there is a time for everything. Verse 4 says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So what are we missing out on if we skip straight past Maundy Thursday and Good Friday? Now, let me tell you something now. I'm going to let you into a bit of a secret and something that I'm a little bit ashamed of. I don't know if any of you have seen the film, The Passion of the Christ. If you haven't seen it, you may have a perfectly good reason or an argument for not having chosen to watch it, which is absolutely fine. But it's a graphic film depicting Jesus' death. And we actually have this DVD. We have the DVD in our house. It's on the shelf. It's been there for many years. But in all honesty, I haven't watched it. I haven't brought myself to watch it yet. I don't know what kind of films you like to watch, but for me, it's a love story or a comedy, something predictable, something harmless. I've never found quite the perfect time to set aside to watch it. Maybe I've always been a bit fearful of how it might impact me. Would it show me things that would be so significant, so powerful, that I would never be able to go back to my comfortable place? So if this moment of Jesus' death and resurrection is the basis for my faith, I might actually have to come to terms with the pain, the agony, the messiness and the despair that he encountered on my behalf that day. So we heard in our reading today that there were many women there, present at the cross and still present at the burial of Jesus by the tomb. It says, verse 55 to 56, say, many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. They had travelled with Jesus to care for his needs. They were present. They showed up at the toughest, most painful moment. They'd left their families back at home, their lives for that day, their to-do lists. Now, I don't know what it felt like to be there, to be watching, seeing how their beloved teacher, brother, son, friend was being treated. But as I imagined what it might have been like to be one of those women there, I started to wonder, would I have been amongst those women? Would I have been present? Would I have showed up at the darkest, most painful time of Jesus' life? I'm not sure. I wonder if I would have had a few other things that were very important that day. I wonder if my family might have really needed me, or someone else maybe would have been in need and I could have helped them, provided a solution to a problem. Or maybe with all the conflict going on surrounding who Jesus was, maybe I wouldn't want to get caught up in that. It could get violent. I'm quite a peaceful person. Perhaps it would be safer and better if I just stayed at home out of the way and not got involved. I could just pray quietly from home, in the comfort of my home. But would that have been exactly what Jesus needed me to be doing in that moment? So maybe I have a neat, comfortable, pleasant view of the Easter story. Yes, perhaps I am grateful for all the things Jesus has done for me. But I wonder, and this is a challenge for me and for you, am I living in the fullness of all that God has for me and our journey together? Is the nice, neat place of faith where I want to stay? I think I might be ready to go deeper this year, to try and embrace some of the pain, and doing it with Jesus in his strength, not my own. Now there's another story in the Gospel of Luke, which you may remember, and that's the story of Jesus visiting the home of Martha and Mary. So Janet, if you could share the painting of Christ in the house of Martha and Mary by Jan Vermeer. And my lovely godmother, Barbara, has pointed me towards some paintings as I was preparing for this. And as you saw in the powerful, powerful prayers that she led us in, using paintings to help us in our faith, help us creatively look at the Bible. And this is something that Barbara's very passionate about. And with her passion of the art and her skills of teaching, that really comes across. So thank you, Barbara. So in this painting, it shows Jesus in the home of Martha and Mary. I think you'll be able to tell who's who in that painting. Martha has welcomed Jesus in. She's preparing food, she's getting things ready. But her sister Mary is sitting with Jesus, listening to him. And we hear Jesus say, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So this is another example where we can learn from a Mary, spending time with Jesus in amongst the busyness of daily life. Only one thing matters, and Mary has chosen it. So from these two examples of being present, of being with Jesus, what can we learn? Leaving all our other good, worthy things that need doing and spending time with Jesus. What might we need to let go of, to lay down, to show that we are putting him first? I wonder what journey you were on with Jesus. What story are you writing with him? And how can you turn up and be present in your faith and in your connection to God? For you, it might be choosing to open your Bible and finding a psalm to read which encourages you or resonates with you, particularly that day. Or maybe it's going to sit in your garden for a few minutes or in a favourite spot away from distractions, and just simply thanking God for his love, his comfort, his peace, or anything else that you want to thank him for. It might be asking him to speak his love over you and just choosing to receive that unconditional love. And doing this with God before you do anything else in your day can be a way to demonstrate to yourself, but also to God, that he comes first above all else. Bringing your day before him, putting each thing into his hands and asking him for guidance. Lord, put the people in my path that you want me to meet and speak with today. Jesus is always present with us. So how can we show him this week that we're choosing the one thing that matters? Being present with him. And during Holy Week, what might God be asking you to engage with him during Holy Week? As Janet mentioned, we're going to have a time at the foot of the cross on Good Friday. As I've already shared with you, I don't find it easy. I haven't always made time to go and sit at the painful places with Jesus. But this year, I'm going to make a choice and be present with Jesus at the foot of the cross. And you're all welcome to come and join, even if it's for some of the time. to sit and dwell at the foot of the cross. So as I begin to draw to a close, I'd like to show you another painting of the deposition of Jesus when he was taken down from the cross after he died. Now, this is by Roger van der Weyden. Apologies for pronunciation. Have we got it, Janet? Sorry, don't worry. It's coming.
Sorry, keep talking and I'll find
it. Okay. And there's a number of characters in this one. In particular, I wanted to point out Mary, mother of Jesus, in the blue. As Barbara was showing me this painting and teaching me a bit about it, she pointed out the way that Mary's posture echoes the posture of Jesus as his body is taken from the cross at his weakest human point. So just look at this painting as I read this prayer. And this is a prayer by Bonaventure, the Italian Franciscan theologian, as he considered Jesus on the cross. Indeed, no sorrow was ever comparable to yours, O Lord Jesus Christ. Your blood was shed so abundantly that your whole body was soaked with it. Why did you let your blood pour forth in a river when a single drop would have sufficed for the redemption of the world? I know, Lord, I know in all truth that you did this for no other reason than to show the depth of your love for me. Amen.